Hey guys, this is Ishai Breslauer and welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. On Mondays, we dive deep into an asset class, and on Thursdays, we go into some inspirational stories for the weekend. Can't wait to start. Let's go. Hey guys, before we continue, I would like to introduce you to the 7-Day CRE Challenge, which will introduce you to commercial real estate and will show you that anyone can do this. Also, I have the free cheat sheet for commercial real estate with the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. You can download it free. Just click below or above, wherever it is, and get it. Let's continue. Hi, guys. This is Ishai Breslauer. I hope all is well this beautiful Monday morning. Hope you guys are doing well. And This is a live show on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook, and also a podcast on the CRE Shark Eye Show, which you guys are going to be able to listen to on the way to work if you can't watch in about, I would say, from now in about an hour, maybe less. Today, we're going to discuss retail. On Monday, basically, Mondays, what I do, I dive deep into one of the asset classes. I get into it and we discuss this in detail and what's going on now, market outlook. Today, when we are energetic, we are rested and we're focused, we're going on our way to work. We are going to now talk about retail, what's going on with this asset class and how do we look at it and what's going on in the market. And this is a very interesting topic and a bit unfortunate, not a bit, but unfortunate. So we're going to get into it a little bit. But before I get into what's going on today with this thing that is called retail, what I'm going to do today is, first of all, I'm going to go through a little bit of a background, okay? We're going to talk about what happened to retail until now. And there's a lot going on. So first of all, the background of retail and what happened to retail was, it goes all the way back to around the 80s. Where with the shopping malls, meaning, you know, retail is a big word, and you could have power centers, shopping mall, shopping centers, strip malls. You have millions of names to them, and everyone has a category. If you guys want to dive deep and learn this, go to the ICSC and see all the categories. But in order to really be focused on what happened to retail, if we go back to the 80s, and the trend was to take it out to the suburbs and to make those large shopping malls, shopping centers, you know, huge existences that the families went out and had fun and we all remember them and all still, you know, experiencing them every once in a while. But then what happened was the revolution of e-commerce came in. And in one word, we call it Amazon. Everybody knows this word, and that one word basically took this world of retail and put it upside down, and everything changed since. And the key thing to understand about what happened to retail is to really understand and know that things are, how do you say, they are not as bright as people thought they will be beforehand. And that's what happened to the JCPenney's, to the Sears, to the Kmart's, to all these guys that went out of business. But what happened was they did not pivot on time. Walmart did pivot on time. Target did pivot, meaning it took them a little while, but then they got themselves together and they pivoted on time and they got their act together. And they are a very good example of what works. But to make the difference between those large malls, which were more of 20-minute drive or stuff like that, to compare them to the shopping center, the neighborhood shopping center, which is very much needed even in this day and age, that was a different thing. You have to go to the nail salon. You want to go to Starbucks. You want to go send a FedEx. Meaning those things were necessary to, you know, for a 5-minute drive, 7-minute drive, 3-minute drive, doesn't matter where, but they're inside, located inside the neighborhood with a, you know, a small shopping center with 3 stores, 4 stores, 10 stores, that kind of a thing, a small strip mall or something like that, that is more approachable, more, people can access it easily. So that is the history. And what happened was basically that when e-commerce came, killed many, many stores that did not pivot on time and did not get to the e-commerce, you know, revolution on time. And that was a major, major, major aspect of these things. So if we focus on what happened when COVID hit, that was a major, major, major thing. So what happened when COVID hit? COVID came and like a storm, told everybody that they have to stay at home. Nobody can get out. Everybody has quarantined. And all of a sudden, the stores are starting to bleed. Okay? So if we get into the numbers, just to understand a little bit what's going on, because I can't go over the whole history of retail and shopping centers and all that stuff. But I can go a little bit over of what's happening today. And that is, first of all, we see, on one hand, we see cap rates that are pretty stable. Okay? Cap rates are being pretty stable. Now, on the other hand, we see jobs, and retail is all about jobs. Okay? Jobs, we had about 22 million, I think, lost, if I'm not mistaken with the numbers. And 11 million we got back, but we're still short. You know, we're still short. We're still in the middle of this recession. If we look at all kind of agencies that put out all the numbers out, so everybody, a lot of them, let's put it that way, are predicting that 2021 is going to be a distress year. That a lot of distress will come out. Vacancies are predicted to rise up to 13%. So that's not these are not good news. Why? Because still we have all these PPP loans and all these things. I'm going to discuss this in a second. Rent collection is the bad story in this whole thing. Rent collection are about 40% than what it used to be. So that is, all these numbers are really, really bad news to this asset class. So we spoke, last time we spoke about the multifamily. Multifamily is considered to be so resilient, so stable comparing to these, to this asset class that's called retail. We spoke about office the other week, and an office is also getting pounded, but not as much. And retail is really getting pounded. So first, I just want to discuss a few elements about tenant mix principles. The tenant mix principle, not everybody's following those principles, but these are the basic principles when it comes to retail. The tenant mix principles come and talk about first of all, to have an anchor, and you have different types of anchor. You have those big box retailers, and who are anchors, national, they are publicly traded and all that stuff. And then you have those smaller type of anchors like Starbucks and like McDonald's. These are anchors. So, and you have different type of lease agreements, okay? But the one, I would say, thing that everybody is following when it comes to retail is the net lease principle. The net lease principle where the landlord does a lot less, and there are different type of levels when it comes to that. We all know the triple net principle, but there are different type of principles when it comes to that. But it's mostly comparing it to office, for example, that you have the gross lease principles. It's different, full service or gross or whatever it's called. But anyways, the net lease principles are that the landlord does a lot less, and he gets a check, and the tenant does a lot more, okay? Because they have a business, they know what they need in their stores, in their space, and that's how it's done, okay? So basically, these are the basics when it comes to those leases. Then you have the moms and pops, and that's, I think, that the nation's story, the international story, is the moms and pops. What happened to moms and pops, and how are they, the small stores, small businesses, basically these guys are the backbones of our economy. They're the backbones of our economy, and how are they doing? And that is a very tough story. So when you look at these things, you have to look at different type of angles, and that's how I'm going to look at it right now. So first of all, you have the retailers, the large retailers. All of a sudden, this pandemic hit, and people can't go to shop, and people are in trouble, and people are at home, and they lost their jobs, and they can't pay as much, and they can't buy as much. What do they do when it comes to those large retailers, the anchors, the big guys, the publicly traded companies. So the tendency is basically when you are such a big guy, you come to the landlord and you're renegotiating your lease. And that's what basically is happening. They're renegotiating their lease terms and putting the pressure on the landlord from the side of, I'm not making enough money, and or I'm not making any money at all, and I need a new lease. And when it comes to a corporate, they have, you know, they have a very certain way to do business. And then the landlord has to deal with them from that point of view of renegotiating a lease and what am I going to do and how it should be done, et cetera, et cetera. So that is from the large tenants. When it comes to the moms and pops, it's a totally different aspect because these guys are trying to survive. They're kind of trying to keep their head above the water. They're trying to just, you know, just get over their day, trying to do whatever they can do. So when it comes to them, they just can't pay rent. It's not about renegotiating or negotiating. Of course, they're going to negotiate, but sometimes there's nothing to negotiate when you don't have, when you're a moms and pops, you're a small business or medium-sized business, whatever you are, usually it's small businesses that, you know, you need to pay rent in order to just keep yourself going and your income, you can't feed your family. Then that is a huge problem. And that is a huge problem and a major, major, major problem. So when it comes to those type of problems, it's not about negotiating. It's about what do we do in order to accommodate those guys, in order to do, to help them out. That is the key, helping these guys out. Now, when you look, this is looking from the point of view of the retailers and what they're going through. But and that is important in order to understand what to do. But when you look at the landlord, when you look at the landlord point of view from their angle, then you look at something very, very different. When you look at the landlord, you look, first of all, when you look at the large tenants, when you look at the anchor tenants, when you look at the, when it's not a franchise, when it's something much, how do you say, when you're dealing with a corporation, and not with a person, then the key is to get as much as you can, okay? How much can I get in order to still have that tenant because things will get better, I still want this tenant, and at the same time, how can I survive, okay, as a landlord? And the landlord also need to feed their families, also have a business to run, and they also have a debt service that they have to pay, and that is the major thing here. When you have a debt service that you have to pay, then they have to combine and to, you know, monetize this situation where they have to, on one hand, talk to the lenders, talk to their tenants at the same time. So the tenant comes and says, listen, I can't pay you. I'm not getting, nothing's coming in. I can't pay you. Or I'm renegotiating the lease. I want a different lease. I want more free. I want more of this. I want more of that. At the same time, the landlord is going to the lender and say, listen, here's the problem. You know what's going on in the country. This is not an invention. It's not me. It's something that is, it's a global problem. What can you do to help me? Let's do this. Let's do that. And the lender hopefully is working through this. So that is in the point of view of a landlord, you know, all these guys trying to do whatever they can do. When it comes to moms and pops, and that is something that I hear all across the board. And landlords are trying, owners are trying to work with their tenants. They're trying really hard to work with their tenants. And I'm going to touch in a such in 1 second, I'm going to touch the ability of landlords to work with their tenants because some landlords are not capable of doing it. Some landlords are over-leveraged and debt service is killing them. And that's a different story. I'm going to touch that in a second. But if they can work with their tenants, especially with moms and pops, okay, after the renegotiated leases with the larger guys, okay, and they managed to get something out of them, okay, so they can actually breathe and these guys are not getting killed. The moms and pops cannot pay. Think about it. They cannot pay at all. And the question is, how much can the landlord help those moms and pops? So first of all, thanks to PPP loans, Okay. These things were a huge, huge help for those type of shops. Okay. And the concept is to give them hope. The concept is to give them the ability to look at the future and say, I can still support my family. I can move forward. I can do whatever I can do. So the key is if the landlord is capable of doing it and to be, as we call it, a mensch, is to be a, call it a human being, a humane, how do I say, in a humane way, to come to them and to say to them, listen, I want to help you. You have a family. I want to try to be good to you and to your business and to be able to have you as a tenant when you get back over this, you know, this hump and times will get better. How can we get you to a place where you can get better? So that is the key of a landlord. Now, I said I'm going to talk about this. On the other hand, leverage is a major, major problem. Tell you a quick story. I said once next to a very, very big real estate guy, one of the largest known companies out there. I'm not going to mention the name right now, but I realized that he's the owner of this mega, mega, mega corporation. I asked him, what is your secret to grow your company in such a way? He made a company that is a multi-billion dollar company. And he says to me, we don't over leverage. Our leverage is not passing the 50%. So I said, okay, that means that you have to get a lot of equity. He said, yes, we do. We got a lot of LPs, we have partners, etc. We share the profit. We don't have big eyes, but we don't over leverage. We are very careful when it comes to leverage. So this is something to take into consideration, right? This is a strategy that this guy that I'm talking to you about, close to 100 years old, and his company is one of the mega companies in the country, and he built it with his hands. So that's something to take into consideration for our future and for our companies. That's what we have to think about. Because when you look at this pandemic, at this situation, everything I said about renegotiating leases and about talking to the moms and pops, the small shops, the people who are the backbone of our economy, and to help them out to survive, to try to get them to breathe, to try to get them to do whatever they have to do. And we can't help them because, God forbid, we are too high, we're leveraged. A leverage is just killing us. That is a major problem. When that problem hits, that is something that the cure for it is too problematic to actually care. So that is a major issue, and landlords have to deal with it. So that is the first thing. The second thing would be, let's discuss for a second the viability, not only of the business and their ability to survive, but the idea of what type of businesses are out there when it comes to those type of businesses, like hair salons and nail salons and coffee shops and all those guys. There's no app that is invented that you can get a coffee and drink your app. You can't do that. It's not possible. Not yet. And we all saw what type of hair we got. We all got. I'm a little spoiled because my son gave me a haircut. It was a pretty good haircut, meaning I still go to my barber. But I'm saying when this thing hit, my son was helping me out. So lucky me. But some people, were like, they moved around like it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. It got wild over there, as we call it. So anyways, you can't get a haircut without going to the barber. And you can't get your nails done without going there. So what were their solutions? I'll touch that in a second. But it just proves that the neighborhood shopping centers are still in need. We need them. We can't do without them. We still need those local shopping centers. We still need to go to shop. And that is a major thing on this retail business and the future of this retail business. I just want to give one comment that there was before, prior to the pandemic, there was an oversupply of these shopping centers and retail centers. There was an oversupply. We know that. We spoke about this many times. We heard it many, many times before everything hit, when the economy, when we were in this streak of 10-year streak of everything goes up and beautiful, right? Well, you know, when there's an oversupply, it has to have a correction. And maybe we're experienced, and the pandemic forced this correction. So anyways, we have to go through this. But the shopping centers, the neighborhood centers will not die. They have to still survive. Another thing that we have to discuss is the difference between the central and the southern locations. Not central. I would call it this. Central, southern, and northern. Okay? So central and southern are actually more open. They're doing a little better because there's more opening. There's more accessibility to them. Northern, where there are more restrictions there, and people are having more trouble to access those centers. So that's, and they're opening slower, and therefore that is pressure on the economy, pressure on these stores, pressure on these businesses, etc. One of the solutions for these smaller stores, okay, you have barber, nail salons, all these places. What is the solution for them? So many of them pivoted and found the solution to supply what we call the social distancing that is so much required, and not only required, but by law is being forced upon us, okay? And they made all kind of systems, like, for example, the scheduling, okay? So we made a scheduling system that people, instead of coming and standing online and saying, okay, it's my turn, it's their turn, and having that, they created a system and they used more technology in order to get that going. So, and that, by the way, that's just quote unquote. I'm not going to talk about it this today, but I'm going to get to it in a different day, maybe next week. But the one thing is that technology came in full blast, because technology, prop tech was already coming in. But right now, prop tech is showing solutions, real solutions, on-time solutions for this pandemic. Going to touch that bit probably next time. But now, right now, I just want to get back to this. So those stores created the scheduling system that people can come instead of standing online. This is my term at this hour, my term at this hour. And that's how they pivoted. And they managed to actually keep their head above the water if they were allowed to open, to have still people coming in, to have customers. Okay? So another thing I want to discuss. The difference between suburban and urban, rural and urban, major difference. First of all, the suburban, everybody is now moving more towards the suburban, and that is the residential, I would say, move. This is something to talk about also, something that we can just dwell on it, and how everybody moves away from the urban to the suburban. I spoke about it a little bit last week, but right now, we have to understand that how it affects retail, the whole retail concept. So when it comes, for example, to places like New York, okay, we all hear about the exodus of New York City, in the other cities, California, with Los Angeles, meaning San Francisco. We hear about these things. We know about these things, downtown Chicago. We hear about these things, that these things are happening. But I hear from people that in New York, at least in area, and I'm going to touch that now. In New York, for example, you have a lot of restaurants that were forced to close, okay? Hospitality and leisure and restaurants are in this category, had to close, many of them. However, those who managed to stay alive and survive, are actually doing okay, because they have those street restaurants, they put their chairs out, they made all kind of adjustments in order to get social distancing for their customers, to have that available for their customers, and it works, and they're there. On the other hand, that is a much easier solution when you come to suburbia, okay? A lot easier. And there, the exodus from the big cities also cause retailers to close down, okay? So that is something that is pretty major, okay? What type of stores are really succeeding out there? And we spoke about nail saloons, and I spoke about the barbershops and the Starbucks and all those guys. Dollar stores are doing phenomenally. supermarkets, of course, Home Depot, meaning all these guys are doing pretty well. So you have this, how do you say, situation where you see types of retailers that are actually diving deep and those type of retailers that are thriving. Now, the one thing we have to understand, that 2021 is going to be a year that retail is going to be in distress. And the opportunities are going to show at that time. Okay, it's going to go into some kind of an evolution and a correction. The opportunities will come out for sure. That's what I believe. And from everything that I hear around, those who will be able, those again who are not as leveraged and will be able to survive and take it through these times and work with their tenants, work with their lenders, and being able to monetize this problem and being able to move to the future, they will be able to survive this 2021. They'll be able to get to the other side and say, hey, we managed, we moved through it, we can do this. And that will be very similar. This is very similar to the 2008 problem, because in 2008, those who were less leveraged or those who could work with their lenders and sort of hold on tight and survive and get through that hump, they were able to get to the other side and still keep going and actually thrive. Same thing will happen here. And the one thing we have to understand, those who are less leveraged and being able to work with their retailers and can hold on to the good retailers, because think about it. How hard will it be for someone who has a shopping center, who has a great tenant or a couple of great tenants that are having major trouble right now because of the situation? They can't bring food at home, or they need to renegotiate the lease, like I said. And they're great tenants. They're paying on time. They're great tenants. He loves to work with them, etc. Think about this. How hard will it be if this person says, listen, I can't have them in. I can't have them not pay. I'm going to try to get someone else. What are you going to do? Who are you going to get in? These are not times to go and get cocky or to go and say, okay, I got someone else. These are times to work together, to come together, to be more compassionate to one another, and to be able to get the most out of it, because this will pay out in the future. It will be a great payoff. Why? Because those who will remember their landlords who worked with them, and the landlords who will remember their tenants who did try to squeeze whatever they could squeeze and worked with them and did not disappear, everybody who's working with each other, the lenders who will be compassionate to understand how it's working, because the other option, what is it, foreclosure? What are you going to do? Who are you going to sell it to? Who's going to buy it right now? So things are not, how do you say, black and white. We have to work through it, and hopefully things will get a lot better. So that is for retail, guys. I hope you guys have a beautiful, amazing, spectacular week, okay? And I'll talk to you guys on Thursday again, and take care of yourselves. Hey guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.